Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 298 main event for the featherweight title. Alexander Volkanovski, the defending champion, taking on the exciting Georgian Spaniard, black belt knockout artist, scary individual, undefeated 14-0, Ilia Topuria. As you can tell, I'm very excited for this fight. I'm always excited for Volkanovski fights because I always learn something. He always surprises me in one way or another. And Ilia Topuria, I mean, you know, I remember him fighting on Cage Warriors before he signed with the UFC, and Brian Boulon was the person that he took out, who was a very good fighter, and Topuria just manhandled him, like he has done a lot of fighters. Of course, undefeated, you know, worked his way up to the title. Very, very impressive win over Josh Emmett. Best he's looked by far, by a long way. Especially given the fact that it was a 5-round fight, which was important to see before he gets in there against Volkanovski, because, you know, the first thing you're going to say is, well, Volkanovski, how many times has he done 5 rounds? And that's where he's potentially going to take Ilia Topuria to challenge him. But he looked so strong, even in the fifth round when, you know, Josh Emmett was a bloody mess and he knew that he had to get the finish and he was kind of walking forward and winging recklessly. You just saw Topuria just kind of taking his time and just slipping and rolling out of the way. A very, very calculated fighter, specifically in that fight. And I wouldn't say that for all of his fights. This is potentially where his experience or lack of experience compared to Volkanovski might start to affect the outcome of this fight. It's actually quite interesting because we're about to live stream in a little while I'm recording this. And this is quite similar in some ways to the Hermanson-Joe Pyfer fight. Obviously, Joe Pyfer, what was he, 12-2, slightly different to 14-0. But, you know, what we learned in that fight was the wisdom of an experienced fighter like Jack Hermanson, like Alexander Volkanovski, can force a fighter that is on a streak, hyped up, doing very well, expected to, you know, get to the right at the top of the sport. There are still lots of lessons for those young fighters to learn. You know, under 15 fights, this, you know, you're still early in your career, really. And it's amazing what people achieve within 10 or 15 fights. When you look at Volkanovski's record, 26-3, and you look at the fights that he's had, the experience that he's had, the long journey while he's been in the UFC, you know, I think I was fortunate enough to call both of these guys UFC debuts. Certainly Topuria, I watched that earlier today, but I was there for Volkanovski's debut and his second fight as well. And I just remember the buzz around the cage, around the octagon before the fight started. Like, people knew that Volkanovski was going to be something quite special. And same thing with Topuria when he was on Cage Warriors. It's really interesting they've come together at this point in their career. My one wonder is whether Ilia Topuria can maintain that same kind of composure that he did in the Josh Emmett fight and apply a similar game plan and be able to have as much effect against someone like Volkanovski. Let me have a quick drink. Taylor, take. So, of course, more experience for Volkanovski. 26-3 is his record, 13 knockouts, 3 wins by submission, guillotine, rear naked choke, triangle. Earlier in his career, I would never count out a submission, because when someone's been hit with a big shot and they're concussed, it's, you know, opportunities open up to you, and fatigue, of course, as well. But I would be surprised if we see Volkanovski working submissions in this one. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him grapple and wrestle and use his ground and pound. But I'll come on to that in a little while. Ilia Topuria, 14-0, 4 knockouts, 8 submissions, high finishing rate, dangerous individual, and a variety of submissions as well. So he's got 2 rear naked chokes, 2 guillotines, an anaconda, an arm triangle, a triangle armbar, and an inverted triangle. I watched his whole career today. Very exciting fighter. Goes through different phases in his career. You know, you go back to earlier on in his career, he was excitable, but he was a very, very strong grappler. He was able to get people to the ground and he would flatten them out and smash them until there was an opportunity to take a submission, which was the first round almost every time. The one time he did struggle was when he was chasing submissions and didn't have success, and he ended up in bottom position for a period of the first round, and it wasn't a great finish to the first round. And that is something that I will circle back to, because although the person that did that to him, I can't remember the guy's name, but I did write it down, John Gorin, you can find it on YouTube. John, bless him, was able to tough out all these submission attempts. He stayed in the fight. He made it very difficult for Topuria, and he ended up in top position at the end of the first round, looking quite strong, with Topuria looking a little bit like, oh, this didn't go the way that all of my other fights have gone up to this point. But then, of course, he did recover in the second round. But like, there is a lesson there to be learned. And a lot of the time, Topuria, if he loses position, it's because he's chased a submission that wasn't there, wasn't ready to be taken. You go back to his UFC debut against Yusuf Zalal. He threw everything at Yusuf Zalal. Every submission, Yusuf Zalal was toughing it out. He was escaping. He was scrambling. Made it very difficult. And when you get to kind of halfway through the third round, you start to look at Zalal and you think to yourself, he's actually not really taken much punishment, has he? I mean, he's not really been beaten up much. He's been twisted, and people keep changing the UFC's Wikipedia page. I went on it earlier today, and I'm just taking a mad diversion here. So I went on it earlier today because obviously I'm making notes, and Wikipedia, of course, is not the most accurate, which some people on Twitter did remind me. I went on to just kind of check the record breakdown, 13 knockouts, 3 submissions. Sometimes I can find information on Wikipedia that isn't on Tapology. Same thing with Sherdog. I have to mix and match and to find my information. Anyway, I had Ilya Topuria's page up because I was going through his career in chronological order from start to finish. Then, say, 4:30, and it's about 6:10 now p.m., about 4:30, I refreshed the UFC 298 page, and it had Ilya Topuria matched up against Max Holloway, which, of course, scared the hell out of me because I'm preparing a show for a different fight, and that is a different fight. Now I've just refreshed it, and the new main event is someone called Jit Volkanovski against John Cena. I swear, honestly, I can't even make this up. This is probably going to go out of focus, isn't it, Jamie? But I need, in fact, let me zoom in on it from my laptop first. Like, oh, that's a good, see, this is where you get your ideas from, Jamie. Let me screenshot this. Like, what is going on? It's Oben Elliott's on this, unless someone's playing with that as well. I don't know. He is on this card. Okay, cool. Right, I can't keep up with all these cards these days. I've got so many other things going on. Anyway, so as you can see right now, I'm trying to access his record, and that is not working because apparently John Cena is the main event now. I'll see how long that lasts. I'll keep refreshing it because it was changed pretty quickly. Oh no, it's back to Alexander Volkanovski, Ilya Topuria today. Right now. Okay, right. Where was I? So the Yusuf Zalal fight, he threw everything at him. And Zalal at the end, he wasn't really beaten up at all. He'd been, you know, challenged in the submission department in a lot of different ways. But for me, that's where Ilya Topuria kind of turned a corner. It was like, okay, right, like, I can get to these positions, but I need to hurt people. And he did earlier on in his career. I think there was just kind of, he kind of settled into a groove where he was able to submit people in the first round fairly consistently. So then it was almost an expectation. The fight before he joined the UFC in his debut was a beautiful right-hand knockout, and it was similar to the way that he coupled his punches against Damon Jackson in his next fight. And we saw a similar knockout against Jai Herbert as well, where he has this kind of arcing overhand to left hook to the body. It's beautiful the way that he talks himself in that way. And interestingly, someone else that's very good at that is Alexander Volkanovski. So I'm interested to see what happens at that range and who's able to land those shots. Because the threat of Topuria closing range and the threat of him level changing, going into a body lock, working his takedowns against the fence, often opens up the opportunity for him to come over with those shots. Very fast, very powerful hands. And I think because he's now landed that a couple of times, now he's starting to realise that if he can start setting that up and coupling it with his level change, it can be very useful. Like earlier on in Topuria's career, what you would see is he would engage his opponent with a couple of shots, and then as soon as they threw back, he was under level changed, in on a body lock. He likes to transition from a body lock. If they stay upright and stay facing him, he starts tripping their legs, tripping and twisting and turning. He's got a great Greco-Roman background, so you can see that in the way that he manipulates the upper body. If they start to turn away, then he starts to work to attack the back. And this, for me, is where it can either make or break him in this fight. What I expect is if he can get into a clinch position against Volkanovski and Volkanovski starts to turn his back, this is where Topuria is going to try and get his hooks in quite quickly. If he doesn't feel like the back attack is there, then he's going to sit off to either an anaconda or a guillotine. He changed those submissions together very nicely. However, because Volkanovski's got such good submission defense as well as good takedown defense, that could be a position where Volkanovski's maybe not initiated the takedown, but finds himself in top position. This could also be a moment where, say, for example, Ilya Topuria's first round against Volkanovski looks a lot like Brian Ortega's third round against Volkanovski, right? So Volkanovski throws a kick, he gets caught, he gets knocked off balance with a punch, and before he knows it, he's dealing with a mounted guillotine, and Topuria is squeezing the life out of him with its guillotine. And we're seeing Volkanovski doing the shaking and gets himself free, and he scrambles to top position. Then he's dealing with a triangle, right? And of course, Ilya Topuria is going to be throwing a variety of different things at him, just like Brian Ortega was. And that was a very risky moment. Well, two very risky moments in that fight. But then if you remember the end of that round, Brian Ortega barely got back to his feet. In fact, he was lifted onto his stool, which shouldn't have technically happened. but he got beaten up pretty soundly for his troubles. Very close a couple of times with a submission. And, you know, they are Ilya Topuria's submissions, right? He loves a guillotine. He loves a mounted guillotine. He will definitely attack a triangle if he's on his back. He'll attack an armbar if he's on his back. These are moments where Volkanovski could be in a lot of danger, but he could also capitalize, given the fact that he's got such good submission defense, to be able to position himself in top position with a fatigued and discouraged Ilya Topuria. And this is where Volkanovski's experience comes into play, right? Because he has been in that fight with Brian Ortega. I've been debating it in my head. Is Ilya Topuria's neck attack as dangerous as Brian Ortega's? I don't know. We're going to find out. Maybe Topuria's watched the Brian Ortega fight and thought to himself, if I was in that position, I could finish that submission. I don't know. What I do know is that Volkanovski was able to escape it. And I don't know many fighters in the world that would have been able to escape that guillotine. Certainly the guillotine. The triangle was close as well. But the ability to escape then put Volkanovski in a very strong position, which kind of drained the rest of the life out of him, out of Ortega. And I could see him doing the same thing against Topuria. I'm a little bit dehydrated today, I think. Okay. I didn't mention the height and reach. It's much of a muchness, really. Ilya Topuria's got an inch in height advantage, and Volkanovski's got 2 inches in reach. Volkanovski utilizes his reach very, very well. He's very good at extending that lead hand. He's very good at throwing and pitching that rear hand over the top. Switches stance as well, which opens up a lot of opportunities for him. Ilya Topuria keeps himself quite compact and quite tight. He's got really good boxing defense, and that has improved a great deal since he joined the UFC as well. Even though he had good strikes earlier on in his career, he still looked quite reckless, and he's settled down a bit. I say he's settled down a bit, but I will mention the first round against Josh Emmer, there were a few times he uncorked punches that didn't land, and he threw himself off balance. This is an area where Volkanovski is going to potentially prey on him a little bit. Much like Jack Hermanson did against Joe Pyfer, he spent that first round being defensive and letting Joe Pyfer kind of punch and chase. And something that was interesting as well that I learned from that fight. So, and interestingly, Sean Strickland, this is a tangent for you a little bit. I hope you've got time. Sean Strickland and Jack Hermanson and Duplessis to a point have all got a style which can be quite provoking. And what I mean by that is that it makes you want to swing for their head because you feel like the next punch is going to knock them out. And you saw that in Joe Pyfer, and I think we might see that in Ilia Topuria. And the reason why that's problematic is because Volkanovski's got good head movement and good footwork. We could see Topuria uncorking punches in that first round because he's manifested that home run knockout. It already says it on his Instagram profile that he's 15-0 undefeated. You know, the documentary team have been following his journey to UFC gold. Like, everything is there already for him to go out there and have an impressive performance. But he's still fighting Alexander Volkanovski. So if he keeps pitching that right hand over the top, which at times in his career has landed and taken people's soul, he might not be able to land it against Volkanovski. And if he doesn't land it, where does that leave him? Does it leave him overextended for counters? Does it leave him heavy on the lead leg and Volkanovski's most likely going to eat that lead leg up? Does it leave him overextended for a power double from Volkanovski, who I don't think he's going to mind wrestling with Topuria, because I think Topuria would be surprised by it. These are all things where Volkanovski's wisdom comes into play, you see. And the reason why I keep circling back to this is because he's been in lots of different scenarios, and Ilia Topuria, for his impressive career, has half the experience. The 25 minutes against Josh Emmett was great, but Josh Emmett is not Volkanovski. He's a tough, well-conditioned individual that is incredibly game and willing to sacrifice whatever he needs to get the win. Volkanovski's a world-class champion, world-class fighter. Josh Emmett is as well, of course. But Volkanovski's a different level. And this is really where we're going to see whether Ilia Topuria is ready for this. I'm not saying that he's not going to be the champion, because I certainly think he's got all the skills and the time on his side to realise that dream. But this is a Volkanovski that's coming off that very disappointing loss to Makhachev. Not only was it a disappointing loss, but he was disappointed in himself because of the state that he was in when he got the phone call for the fight. And I think this is a very, very important note in this analysis. Who beats a motivated Volkanovski? Islam Makhachev was able to control him for the majority of a fight and was able to win on the scorecards first time around. And when I watched it back, I gave Makhachev four rounds. It was impressive, but Volkanovski was there. He stayed in the fight and he finished strong. When he went into that second fight, he basically was, as he said in his own words, he was drinking every day. He was not in the gym. He didn't have the discipline that he needed to be ready for that fight. And he took it anyway. Of course he did, because he's Alexander Volkanovski. That's in history. You can't change that. But what will happen is Volkanovski will be a different person going into this training camp because of that. He's not going to put himself in that same situation defending his own belt. He was surprised and disappointed in himself that he put himself in that situation when he got the call for Makhachev, because he knows full well if he'd have just stayed ready and stayed active, he would have given himself a much better chance of winning that fight. I'm not saying he could have done it, but he would have certainly given himself a much better chance. But this is a fully prepared Volkanovski that's got the motivation from that disappointment. He's defending his belt against someone that is on a streak that's 14-0, that he's going to be excitable and confident. He's just done five rounds against Josh Emmett and beat the brakes off him. Most other people either get knocked out or choked out by him. This is the kind of challenge that Volkanovski wakes up in the morning and runs to the gym for. And that is an incredibly dangerous person. So let's talk for a moment about Volkanovski and what we think he might do in this fight, because I do think he's going to start smart and I do think he's going to be patient. I think he knows the value of forcing Ilia Topuria to swing and miss and punch himself out. I also think he's going to attack Ilia Topuria's lead leg, and for as good as Topuria's lead leg attack is in his own right, I feel like he's very vulnerable for that return attack, and I think Volkanovski's going to do a good job of eating that lead leg up. And I don't know if Topuria's got the variance in his game to be able to switch stances if that's the problem, but Volkanovski, of course, we know does. So Volkanovski is going to be drifting in and out of range. He's going to be tempting Topuria to throw with power, and he's not going to be there when the punches wing past his head. he's going to most likely eat up that lead leg best he can and stay safe for the majority of that first round. He might engage a couple of times. He might clinch and have a little bit of a wrestling match for a moment just to kind of test out Ilya Topuria. But I think that first round is going to be very measured. It's going to be Volkanovski shaking himself out at 145 and taking a good look at what Ilya Topuria's got when he's the most fresh and the most dangerous. Because you've got to remember, first round is Ilya Topuria's round. Once Topuria starts to settle into his game, he actually gets a lot more dangerous and a lot more effective, and that's what we saw in the Josh Emmett fight. Once he'd kind of got those excited nerves out in the first round and kind of punched and missed a few times, then he started to really settle down into a steady jab and that slicing right hand that he's got, as well as a good lead leg attack. This version of Ilya Topuria can be really dangerous and really problematic. Still, the variance in Volkanovski's game with his footwork and his attacks are going to be a real challenge for Topuria's defense. It's going to be difficult to judge what Volkanovski does when he starts moving forward. And we know, of course, he's got heavy hands. If Volkanovski comes in too low, drops his head quite low, I won't be surprised if he finds himself defending neck attacks. Of course, if he gets a leg caught like he did against Brian Ortega, it wouldn't surprise me if he's dealing with neck attacks or back takes, etc., etc. And if he steps in too high and starts winging punches too much, I fully expect Ilya Topuria to stand his ground and get a body lock and start challenging the takedown defense of Volkanovski. And almost as if I'd planned it, which, of course, you know I didn't because I don't plan much. 70% takedown defense for Alexander Volkanovski compared to 92% takedown defense for Ilya Topuria. And 1.5 submission average per 15 minutes as well. Of course, Volkanovski, 0.2. He's not gonna attack too many submissions, especially because he's going to respect the submission prowess of Topuria, both offensively and defensively. What I will say, however, is if Volkanovski does have a good first two rounds, if Topuria does punch himself out, does find his lead legs vulnerable, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Volkanovski close the range down, put Ilya Topuria on his back, put him up against the fence, and use that really nice like tripod ground and pound position that he used in his earlier fights. What's fascinating about the way that Volkanovski grapples is he doesn't engage in jiu-jitsu. He wrestles to get into positions, and then he kind of hovers over people with weight. If you watch his first couple of fights, Jeremy Kennedy, I think, was the best example. He's overbearing, but he doesn't offer handles to pull himself into a half guard position where his opponent can start to scramble. Topuria is going to find himself struggling to recover full guard in that position because Volkanovski is going to be punching him while ever his hands are away from his head, trying to move his base around. So if Topuria finds himself in bottom position, of course he's going to be throwing up submissions, but this is really where Volkanovski, for me, can start to take over. And if Ilya Topuria gets a little bit too enthusiastic in certain positions, whether he's got a body lock, he's got Volkanovski broken down against the fence, he might try and hop onto his back and expedite that Reneke choke finish and find himself falling off forward and being on bottom position with a Volkanovski that can very well defend submissions from the guard. A really, really interesting fight, this one. One thing that I think might be worth watching as well for Volkanovski. Partly because Ilya Topuria has been caught with this twice. The guy that he knocked out before his UFC debut caught him with a head kick, just kind of cuffed him across the top of his head. And of course, we saw Jai Herbert catch him with that head kick as well. It's the left head kick both times. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Volkanovski look to try and set that up in the same way that he was caught with the head kick against Makhachev. Sometimes the best way to learn a technique is to get caught with it. And on that kind of stage, in that kind of situation, it wouldn't surprise me if Volkanovski has added that skill set to his game, knowing full well that it might work very well against Ilya Topuria. Something worth considering. What else haven't I mentioned? Just a shout out, because it was amazing to watch. The way that Topuria ragdolled Bryce Mitchell, just pancaked him and ragdolled him around, that suplex in his UFC debut as well. He's a very, very talented and skilled fighter. It all comes down to wisdom for me, and I feel like Volkanovski is motivated and determined because of what happened in his last fight. He will have been back in the gym as soon as he was able to be, to get back in shape and get his discipline back. And I think he looks at Ilya Topuria as a person that he's going to make an example of, that he might be on his way to the end of his career, but it's not arrived just yet. But I'm very excited. Topuria, an incredibly exciting prospect. If he doesn't win the belt this time around, we're going to see him in future title shots for sure, because he's got all the skills he needs. All right. Enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.